A number of years ago, we took the Bachrim of the Yeshiva to an Eretz Yisrael, and we went to visit Rav Hirsch, Yeshiva Salvaka, and he told us a very beautiful Bar Taira that he heard when he was a Bachrim in the Yeshiva from Rav Nassim Vaxvogel, which is, relates to Shofar. It says in Yisrael, when he talks about Kabbalah Taira, so the Pasuk says, and Hashem says, you can't go onto the mountain, you can't go to Har Sinai. And then it says that when the Pasuk, the Pasuk says, "Timshol chayovel hema yadu bahar." When the shofar is blown, again, yovel, here it doesn't use the word shofar, it says yovel, then they're allowed to go back up to Har Sinai. So Rashi brings, what is this, timshol chayovel? So Rashi says, it's referring to the shofar. So which one is this? Who shofar show ayo of Yitzhak. There was the Avraham Avinu at the Akedah was Makar the Ayo, said of Yitzhak. So it's referring to the shofar from that Ayo. Rambana argues, he says, how is it possible that Ayo was totally burnt? So he says in his first shot that according to Rashi, you have to say Hashem made a nes and he recreated the shofar from the ashes and put it back together. So apparently Rav Nosson Vaxel said, Sasekasha, why was it so important that you had to use the shofar of the Ayo for Yitzchak, of the Kedis Yitzchak, at the end of Kabbalah Satorah? Doesn't seem for the shofar of Kabbalah Satorah, there was all kinds of shofars, doesn't seem it was any special shofar. It was a shofar. But for the end, when to tell Bnei Yisrael that they're allowed to go back up to Har Sinai, it had to be, could be just any old shofar. Hashem had to blow the shofar from the Ayo of Yitzchak. So he said a very beautiful idea. He said that there's a tendency that people have that when they're striving for a very difficult goal, so they work very hard, and then when they make it, they relax. That's it. I made it. Right? You're on a diet, and then you finally meet your goal. So what do? You go celebrate and get yourself a piece of cake, right? So that's it, you made it. So when you make your goal, then you relax. So Hashem was, so to speak, nervous. It was where Klai Yisrael worked to get the Memtet Shari Kedusha. It wasn't so easy. Went from Memtet Shari Tumah to Memtet Shari Kedusha. They got to Har Sinai and they got the Torah. So now what? So human nature is, now what? Oh, now we can relax. So Hashem's giving them a message. Look at Avraham Avinu and Akedas Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu, obviously the Akedas Yitzchak was a hard nisayim. The hardest nisayim. Strives to the nisayim of Akedas Yitzchak. He went ahead and he passed the nisayim. What happens? Because Baruch Hu tells him, Ati Yadati Gerera Kimata. So we would think Avraham Avinu says, okay, I can relax. Instead, what does Avraham Avinu do? No, I insist. I want a Shaft Yitzchak. When Hashem tells him no, he says, okay, let me find the substitute. Hashem didn't tell him to find the substitute. Avraham Avinu went searching for the, and he was Mechadesh, that he could Shaft the Ayo, and it could be Edo Shaft the Yitzchak. So the idea was that Avraham Avinu is demonstrating this point, that when you reach your goal, you don't stop. You got to keep on going. Keep on going weiter. More higher Goddess. Instead of the opposite of stopping. And this was the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to convey after Har Sinai. That's what he told us. I think that Bar Torah highlights a very big problem that many people, including myself, people in Yeshiva have with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have Elul, 2 weeks to Rosh Hashanah, 1 week to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tzom Gedalia, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. We're going up and highlighting and pushing and pushing. Okay, we made it. Baruch Hashem, Yom Kippur is over. We're going to celebrate Sukkot, Simchas Torah. And then by the time you're finished back, no one remembers anything. All the Kabbalahs are forgotten. And for sure, they're not continue growing. It's a problem. So what do we do? Or is this a problem? It sounds like a problem. It seems very disheartening. And many people, because of this, they almost don't even try to grow in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they remember from previous years, all my kabbalahs I made last year, I ended up not keeping. So what's the point? Can make again. So what's the answer? So there are a few answers. I'm not going to give say, the only answer. The one answer, which is not very kedai to know, is there's a mabit. There's a famous mabit that's very important, where it's a tremendous chizik. The mabit is an early Achrin, 500 years ago. He has a sefer Beis Elokim, and he says that you say that tshuva is an unusual mitzvah. He says you have a mitzvah of tzitzis. If a person only puts on three parts, three corners, bag, and he only can't get down to four, he's not seen a mitzvah at all. If you put on tefillin and you're missing a parsha, it's zilch. But he says tshuva, there's partial credit, and even though. And the Yain already says there's partial credit if you have half Kabbalah, half Charata. But he says even if you have zero Charata or zero Kabbalah, as long as you have one of the three dimensions, you get partial credit. He says with Ferris, a person can say, you know, I feel bad I'm doing a Ferris, but I have not the slightest chance I'm going to stop. No way. I can't. It's not realistic. I'm probably not stopping. Or vice versa. A person can say, I'm going to stop, but I don't really think it's so terrible, but okay, I'll stop. So he says, that is partial kapara. That's partial tshuva, there's partial credit. So according to him, it's really not so bad. The question is not as fair, because even if I'm right, that what people do today might not be fully considered kapara wa asid in the fullest extent, because they make a kabbalah on Yom Kippur. It's not a shorty night. Yode Talumos that the Rambam talks about, that he's never going to be chayzer again, and it doesn't maybe qualify for Hilchus total kabbalah wasit, but it's partial. Definitely has a charata. He has some degree of kabbalah wasit, so there's partial credit. So therefore, it's not a total waste. That would be the simplest answer. I want to say a different answer, which is really not my answer. It's in this sefer here. There's a sefer Or Yisrael with the Iyunim from Rabbi Zion Brook Tetzal. Rabbi Zion Brook was the reshiva of the Vardik. He started the Vardik yeshiva in Yerushalayim in the 1930s, I believe. I'm not sure. I think it was the Talmud of the Alter Vardik himself. Maybe it came a little later. So he quotes this answer, basically discusses it, really quotes it from one of his rabbis, which goes back earlier in the Navarre. And he basically says as follows, that there really are two different systems. You look at Chazal, there are two systems in the din. We always think of the system in din of tshuva. Tshuva is the way Hashem, you do tshuva and Hashem judges, it takes a scale. You know, my daughter called me, she's teaching in school, she puts a scale, the mitzvahs and averis, and you teach the kids about, you know, you weigh the mitzvahs and averis and what comes out better. But there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says something else. Where Rosh Hashanah says, Ein donem es ha'adam, edit afi ma'isav, sh'oiz ha'shah. Sh'nemar ki shama lakim et ko'an nar bashir hu sham. So Rosh Hashanah, Ein donem, it's like, it's an absolute. How do you have two systems that are absolute? Not so simple. But the Gemara says that there's a completely different system. There's a system called Bashir Husham. Bashir Husham means we're not looking how many mitzvahs you have. We don't look at how many averis you have. We don't look at the past. Past is irrelevant. We're just dealing, we're not looking at the past. We don't look at the future. We only look at the present. Bashir Husham. The Chinuch on Yom Kippur, he says this for Farish. The Chinuch says that there's a mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. The question is, what's the reason? So, okay, obviously, we're not very time in the grow, but the Chinuch does give reasons. And he says, the Chinuch says, because when a person is fasting, it's easier for him to reach a certain higher level of Kedusha, to separate himself from the Gashmias. And it's Hashem judges him when he's at that higher level. And he's guaranteed to go down, because we know for sure he's planning Motzei Yom Kippur to go eat. So the Chinuch says, Hashem judges you, Basher Husham. So right now in Yom Kippur, you're on this high level, you're fasting. So you're in this high level, you're not connected to Gashmias. So then your judgment is Basher Husham. So there's a concept besides tshuva, which is the way of changing, that looking at that's working on the past. There's also a concept of working on the present. Also Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a steer in Rabbeinu Yonah, also seems to have two systems of tshuva. That there's a famous question that in the Shari Tshuva, he says that 20 steps of tshuva, and he saw that tshuva, he has a different, seems to have a different system. Might be maybe slightly different, but it's the same similar idea, that there could be, there's more than one system of how Hashem judges. Things are complicated. So what comes out is that there are two different systems. There's a system of tshuva. For tshuva, you need charat ha'avar, kabbal ha'asin, vidui, fine. But there's a different system, basher v'sham. Basher v'sham, we find, for example, aseret yemei tshuva, where people don't eat pasakim, even people who eat pasakim all year. That's not tshuva. There's no shaykhis to tshuva. You're planning, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, you're planning to go back and eat your pasakim. So what is that? What's the point? That's basher v'sham. You want to go ahead and make, you know, while you're at aseret yemei tshuva, you're acting a certain way. I heard from one of my rabbis, he said you have that in today in the geisha world. He said that if a person comes to court, you have they arrest someone, one of these ghetto people grew up in the ghetto, they come to court. He says his lawyer will have him get a haircut and put on a suit. He probably never wore a suit a day in his life. But when he comes to court, he wears a suit and he gets a haircut. Because that's the judge looks at him, he's going to judge him about Shev Hashem. He's going to come in with his regular outfit. He's going to get a completely different judgment. And he gave him a mashal. He said, and what would happen if, at the court case, while the judge is judging him, the judge goes and looks for his watch, and he discovers that his watch is gone, and he discovers that the guy pickpocketed him? He says, it's going to be a completely different judgment. Because by Shev Hashem. Now, the judge knows he's a pickpocketer. But if you pickpocket him in the court, it's completely different. So the concept of Asher Hashem is at least on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we have to reach a high madrega. There's a certain concept. You're not going to stick with it. You're reaching your madrega because you're getting the Hisayris with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You're reaching your madrega according to the Chinuch because you're fasting. You know almost for sure you're going to fall down after Yom Kippur. But it's a gavaldic thing. It's Asher Husham. On the other hand, there's also a system of tshuva. We try and do both systems. Obviously, we try and do both systems. Now, Rav Brook goes further. He quotes from his Rebbe a very amazing thing. He says that we have Yosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And there's seemingly many steers between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, very strange, you're not allowed to mention vidui. You're not allowed to come out, you're not allowed to mention that you're chait. You're not allowed to mention din aver, hoshaida. Do we say certain things, and you mention it, a certain place in the davening, it mentions chait. But pashas, you're not supposed to mention that you're chait. You're sure you're not supposed to in your own bakashas, you don't stick in anywhere. Also, to stick into Shemona Esrei of vidui in Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur, the whole thing is the 10 viduis, right? We do vidui, 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 vidui. A person who does a vidui achidah, that's they talk about tzaddikim, that the whole day they basically were saying Shemona Esrei of vidui. What's the story? Is vidui, is that you know, al tifta pet or something, that by saying that you had a chet, you're going to get more ancient, or is it good to say vidui? Is it good or bad? Why should it be that on Rosh Hashanah, it's usher to even mention the word that you did a chet? Yom Kippur, it's the greatest thing in the world. Rosh Hashanah is a yantif. We have suda. We go ahead. We have a mitzvah. I make on yantif. There's a mitzvah of having a supposed to take a haircut before you so Rosh Hashanah, but have a good meal, etc., etc. Yom Kippur, we're fasting. It's just completely opposite. Points out them in the Nusuk and the Tzvita, there are differences. We have Rosh Hashanah, we have the, we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This seems like such a major part of Rosh Hashanah davening. Yom Kippur is not, we don't do that at all. He says, what's the difference? So his answer, now I can't, this is his answer from his Rebbe, from Novartik. He says, it's two systems. So obviously Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both. But he says, Rosh Hashanah, he says, is be'ikar b'asher husham. And Yom Kippur is be'ikar tshuva. That's his insight. He says, Rosh Hashanah is obviously is also tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is one of the aseres you make tshuva. Therefore he's supposed to do tshuva Rosh Hashanah. But the ikar focus, he says, on Rosh Hashanah is that you go ahead and b'asher husham. Therefore he says, that he gives it a mashal, this is his mashal, that when you go to the photographer, in those days it was a little different, that you went to a pose photography, you pose for the picture because you want to get make the picture look nice. You put on your best suit and you go to the photographer and he takes a picture. He says in Rosh Hashanah, we put on our best suit and we pose. We make believe like where everything is perfect. And if you have some blemish when you go to the photography store, so you the photographer, he sets you up in a way that you can't see it. You want to hide your blemishes. You want to be a perfect picture. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah, we don't say vidui, because we're almost hiding our veris. We're trying to get that we're functioning and we're coming in by Asher Husham. Again, doesn't mean you don't do tshuva. Tshuva is very important, Rosh Hashanah. But the ikar focus, he says, Kabbalah's Omach Hashemayim, of the Kabbalah, that they were Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Bashir Husham, that we're Maminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at Rosh Hashanah, the emphasis is that we're on a high madrega. We're Kedushan. We're striving to reach a high level of Kedushan on Rosh Hashanah. When you get a high level of madrega Rosh Hashanah, then to reach the MS, there's a certain hargosha about that I don't want to do any more Averis. Obviously, that's part of being on a high madrega. I want to stop doing Averis. I don't want to do Averis. I want to be Kaddish. I want to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that level, that's when you get a Bashir Husham. On Yom Kippur, he says it's like a person just the opposite. You're going to a doctor. Because on Yom Kippur, he says it's the Yom Kapara. But it's not just that Hashem forgives us if we do tshuva. Hashem helps us do the tshuva. Hashem is mitayer etchem. He says he helps you. So you got to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your illnesses and say, doctor, I have this problem. Help me. So the guy goes to the doctor and the doctor asks, what's wrong? And you don't tell him, he's not going to help you. So by Yom Kippur, Adirabba, he says, you got to go ahead and every little kvetch, you got to say, I got this problem, I got that problem, because Baruch will help me. So that's his side. Even though about that, like we said, Yom Kippur has Bashir Lisham, that's the Chinuch himself is saying it, and Rosh Hashanah is Asar Shemei Tshuva, but he's saying the Iker focus of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are two different focuses. So what comes out basically is just a very nice thing is that there are two different drachim in tshuva. Even if you don't say his yisayim, but there's definitely two drachim, and we have to try and reach both. There's a trying to reach, even if it's only temporarily, to reach a very high madrega, and we shouldn't belittle it, because it's a very gewaldic thing if temporarily, especially on the Yom of the Din, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if we can reach a high madrega, even if we know we're going to fall down later, it's a gewaldic thing. It helps us share with Shama. It's amazing. It's a different thing to try and do tshuva. Okay, I don't see not time to, how we do tshuva. There is, in the Svarim, there's a third system, which you just should mention quickly, and that is the question system of, called the mancha. Is that the, we say, grain el chayim, el chavez v'chayim, kasein el beser v'chayim, the mancha nukim chayim. This is a Rashi Vedasa, you used to always say, I believe it comes from Rav Yisrael Salanter, many of the Bali Mussar say this approach, is that there's a different system in the judgment. They give a mashal, if a person has a neighbor, not a wealthy person, all of a sudden, yeah, tells you, I just flew first class to, you know, Los Angeles. Flew first class, how did you afford first class? So now that I fly first class, I stay at this fancy hotel. What's going on? He says, Bush, my business sent me. I work for a very wealthy company. Could be they even own the airlines. And they sent me. So my business, if I was bad value going, I'm flying Spirit. But if my business is paying for it, they send it first class. So the mancha means that if we're going to go ahead and get item hazeh because of our mitzvahs, we have to weigh our mitzvahs and aveiros, so we're in trouble. We might not be able to afford it. And even if we can afford it, it's going to take away from our schuyos. And then you lose schuyos and item haba. You don't want to lose your schuyos and item haba. So there's a system of getting a din of the mancha, which means that I'm on a business trip. Item haza should be a business trip. I'm here to serve Hashem. The whole world is, everything is a business trip. If it's a business trip, the more it's a business trip, the more it doesn't count. It has nothing to do with your mitzvahs of us, and you're not paying for it. Because my life is not for myself. My life is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My life is to raise my family to property, to get tzedakah, to learn Torah, whatever. So it's a business trip, then it doesn't go in the cheshbon of your own mitzvahs. So what comes out is that there are three different systems, there are probably more, but of how a person is judged. A person is judged based on an obvious one system is the way in the mitzvahs of Averis, which would depend on tshuva. A person is judged on Basher Husham, and a person is judged on how much he's l'mancha. Just quickly, because we on the system of tshuva, so we raise the question, how does one go ahead and make a kabbalah? And it's easy to get inspired, but how does one make a kabbalah that lasts? So there are two totally different drachim that are mentioned in the svarim. They're really almost opposites, but they both work. One is that they say if you try and make a kabbalah of something very, very small, the famous story about Rav Shach, someone got into some kind of car accident, and he was getting hurt, and he went to Rav Shach. He says he wants to make a kabbalah, and the famous story of Shach told him to bench always with a bencher. In other words, you take something really small, therefore it's likely that you'll keep it. If you're likely to keep it, so then there's a concept of mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and eventually in 50 years, you'll hopefully reach, you know, get to everything. But if you pick something big, then we don't trust you that you're going to stick to it. So if you want to make sure, in other words, and if you don't stick to it, then it's almost, in a certain sense, there's no point. There is some point, but in the scheme of trying to be better, there's no point. So there's one system of a proper kabbalah. We all the Bali Mussar talk about trying and find something very, very small, that you have almost no nisayin, so that therefore you can be guaranteed that yourself that you can do it. And maybe you're making a vadai improvement. Once you have a vada improvement, then you can build on it. But the other system, because this is has a little chisara to it, because it's so small that you're really not barely moving. The other system is also from the Navarika Advartara. The Navarika Advartara is that if you have a heavy, it's one of the piskamin from the Alta Navarik, that if you have a train and it's trying to get over a bridge, and it's a very shaky bridge, so how can the train get over the shaky bridge? So the Alta Navarik says you get the engine roared up and then you zoom across the bridge. The weight of the train will break the bridge, but by the time the bridge breaks, you're on the other side. It's even better that the bridge broke, because then you can't get back, and that's good. So in other words, what it means is to say is that the system is, if you put teeth in the kabbalah, right? In other words, person, I remember I was in yeshiva years ago, a person came to yeshiva. And this was really different, wasn't here, different yeshiva I was in, and the yeshiva person came with all kinds of reading material that wasn't so proper, and I spoke to him that, you know, it's not, you shouldn't have this in yeshiva. He says, you know, you're right. Hello, I convinced him, I'm going to put all the books, I'm going to lock it up in my suitcase and put it in the storage room. I said, why are you locking up in the storage room? Why don't you just throw them out? He said, throw them out? But what happens when I change my mind and I want them? So that's not a good kabbalah lesson. Kabbalah Haaseh is when you throw out the books. Also, if you go ahead and you do something with teeth, if you have a person has a smartphone he doesn't want to keep anymore, person has think wants to change from his, he's too much addicted to, if you would have the, you know, the internet, so you throw out your phone, so then you're less likely to get it again. So when you put teeth in something that makes that you, you know, then there's at least, you, even when you lose your inspiration, but you have teeth. They say Rav Dessler, when he wanted to quit smoking, so he went ahead and he told everyone, I'm quitting to smoke. Why did he tell everyone? Because he wanted to put teeth in it, because if he would start smoking now, he'd be embarrassed. I told the whole yeshiva, I got up in front of the whole yeshiva and I announced, I'm quitting to smoke. So now they're in my gaiva, you know, if your people are going to see me smoking, what do you mean? You said you're quitting. So he did it, not because he wanted to show off that I'm quitting smoking. So he did it because he knew it's a hard nisayin, so he wanted to put teeth into it. To make it, you know, that there's a hechruch. The hechruch is I'll be embarrassed if I start smoking. So a person makes a hechruch, and I think I mentioned, I always believe and say that the best hechruch, especially, is to get a chavrusa, especially, you know, in the kodo. I think it's a wonderful thing, because Talmud Torah, we believe, is connected kulam. Talmud Torah has the greatest hashpah, for us the yetzahara, for us the yetzahara tavin. So what could be better for moving up to learning more Torah? When you have a chavrusa, that's teeth, that's a commitment. You're a certain amount stuck because you made a commitment to a chavrusa. It's not that I'm going to come in to learn when I want to learn, and if I change my mind, I'm not going to learn, but you made a commitment to a chavrusa, and now you're almost embarrassed, you don't show up. And obviously there's a ma'ida of associating with Talmid Chachamim. It's also a tremendous ma'ida, so that's, you know, that, for example, would be obviously a wonderful kabbalah that has teeth. But the concept is that to try and make a kabbalah when we're doing tshuva, using the system of tshuva, to try and make a kabbalah that one would really keep, even when one loses his inspiration, even after Sukkot, Chanukah, etc. And the suggestion is either by picking something very, very small, which is almost, so of course you'll keep it, also they say by writing down your kabbalah so you won't forget them, or by going ahead, I think the Marsha says that's right, kuhi mochen dvarim, that you write it down, that you can read it, you have it down, it's kuhu, so you have your dvarim in your hand, I believe that's a Marsha. Or you go ahead and you make a difficult kabbalah, but you put something hechruch in it that you're going to keep it. So that will be the system of tshuva. Then we have this other system of asher husham, which is even if you don't expect to be able to keep it, but just to reach the highest level you can reach. And then there's a third system of trying to dedicate your life to the Tzorchei Rabim, to Tzorchei Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you get the schus of the mind.